Well, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, would you bless our time with these dear ladies? Thank you for their just putting this as a priority. And Lord, we want to put you as our priority today and to be all that we ought to be. Would you use this lesson today in all of our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, our subject is being focused here today. That we're going alphabetically through all of these different spiritual aspects that are part of Christ's life. And I appreciate this simple lesson today. It's very helpful. The author speaks of the fact that they had gotten saved, she and her husband, and one of the most important times that happened to them was a little bit of time after that when they took a Sunday afternoon and they sat down and talked about the goals that they wanted to have in their life now that they were growing as a Christian. And she said that the Lord used that very simple afternoon to change the direction of their life, and the fact that they got a hold of what their life had, that it had purpose, and they were heading toward the realization of these goals. Now, we all know we need goals, but when you are honest about it, oftentimes we are survivors. We exist. We go from day to day, week to week, month to month, and oftentimes when we say, wow, I can't believe it's this time of the year or whatever, that's of course for all of us, but some of that kind of perspective can come out of the fact that everything's just a blend, rather than God's done this, God's done that, this has been rich, this has not been easy, but God's been working, and we've been accomplishing this, and we're heading toward this. And in other words, life has a distinctive purpose. And I have found that people that struggle with discouragement and anxiety normally do not have a set of goals, steps to get there, and a structure in their life. Life is, what should I say, it overwhelms that person. They are a victim of circumstances rather than being a master of their own fate by the grace of God. Life is never easy. Every day is a challenge, and we're going to be facing things, and if we're going to serve the Lord, we're going to be facing things. But if we really don't have clear-cut focus of our life, we're going to be inevitably just seeing the bad things, and we're not going to be seeing what God is doing to get us to each of the things that God has put on our hearts to accomplish. Every lady in this room, God has more for you to accomplish than you can even imagine. Your life is strategically important. Doesn't matter what life stage you're in right now. God has great goals for you, and we're going to look at the importance of lining up with that. So I appreciated her emphasis in talking about that, and I can certainly say that in my own life, that as God has crystallized and I have laid out the things that I believed God wanted to accomplish in my life, in my family, my marriage, in the ministry, that lining up with God's purpose just gives a joy. I'll meet them. I haven't seen them for a while, and we'll be talking about, you know, what I'm doing, what they're doing, and oftentimes the thought comes to mind, man, it doesn't get any better than this. I mean, to me, being able to be involved in seeing goals that I've had all of my life accomplished, or we're on the road to it, seeing God work. I mean, life is a blessing, even through the hard times, if you have meaning and purpose. And so this morning, I think it's important to just be honest. Lord, am I just existing, or am I truly living with purpose, and I'm taking steps to get there? Well, let's look at the life of the Lord here. The statement that you've heard many times that she reiterates is, aim at nothing and you will hit it every time. And that's so true. When you hear preaching, teaching, we get in our hearts and minds some things that we would like to see happen, but if we do not purpose to see it happen and do not provide the steps for it to happen, then we are constantly feeling under pressure that we're not getting anywhere because we're really not aiming purposefully to get there in our lives. The Lord Jesus never wasted one moment, one step in his life. He had clear-cut purposes and he accomplished everything that the Father had told him to do. That's what he says in John chapter 4, my meat or my satisfaction is to do the will of the Father. He didn't miss one step. He was never in a hurry and he was never late. He was moving along one step at a time. In my prayer journal, I have a statement in there that I pray every day that, Lord, make me like the Savior. As he rested in the Father, he did exactly what the Father did, but and because of that was able to do great works, and I can do greater works. And Lord, keep me right in step with the Father's will and not living with anxiousness to try to accomplish something myself, but to do everything God wants me to accomplish. And there's a great rest to that. And it's amazing. You do far more than you think you can do when you're in that kind of a mentality. The first thing that she mentions is that Jesus prepared for the work that he did. We rush sometimes where angels fear to tread. In other words, there's preparation in our life. We work a lot here in preparing young people in all phases of their life to be prepared, but no matter where we are in our life, we need to really let God prepare us in every way. How old was Jesus when he began his ministry? 30 years of age. Have you ever thought about how hard that must have been humanly? He's the God-man and had to live a typical human life for 30 years before he became the obvious Messiah and went into his public ministry. That took a lot of humility. That took a lot of patience. Now, obviously, he had no sin, but he still was human. He could have, at 12, as we saw with him in the temple, speaking to the top doctors of the law, the Bible. They were amazed at him. He could have done what he did at 30, technically, at 12, but humanly, he knew that he needed to follow the whole course of maturity and to be ready at that time. I sort of follow that rule of thumb when guys talk to me about going into senior pastorates or in major leadership. You know, don't rush it. If the Lord waited till 30, there's something to that. And I remember when I crossed 30, I came here at 32, I realized, boy, this is on the young end of it. When you think of all the lessons that we need to learn. And the point of this is, if you have, and this is really big, if you have clear-cut biblical goals and specific ones that God has given you, then every part of your life you can see as preparation. If you don't have specific goals and do not understand exactly what your life is about, then life with all of its twists and turns is just a puzzle to you that is a frustration. When you really are committed to God, then trials are always a blessing. Every message is another piece of truth that God is using to change you. Every devotional time is strategic on your pathway to those goals. Your relationships are key. You've got to have victory. You cannot continue on with defeat in your life. In other words, everything you do is marked by where you are going. Now, folks, if we could learn that, it would change everything about each day. This is an important day. You're not the same you were 2 months ago. Certain things have happened in your life. You've learned some things. You've been through certain things. And you're either going down or up. It's never static. And if we don't react to situations right, that's bitterness. That'll quench the Spirit of God. if we get faint-hearted and just throw up our hands and lose sight of what God wants for us, then we can become very cynical about life. You know, believers can get caught in a real self trap. And that's where depression begins to come in. That's where anxiety begins to come in. Mark it down every time. Once you get caught in too much anxiety, you've lost sight of what God's called you to do. You don't have that refreshing reality, I'm here for a cause. You know, and this is great that I can serve the Lord, and I'm glad for the problems that face me, because God is doing something, dealing with my self-centeredness, which we all have an incredible problem with, and God's changing me, and He's teaching me, and He's maturing me. Hallelujah! He's taking me on the road down toward the goals that I have. But if we don't have those goals, it's all just a mess. We get frustrated. If we are wanting things just to be the way we want them, then we're not going to be very happy. Now, you'll have your moments of happiness, but you can become very, very bogged down with all the problems that you face. So I said, this is a big one, folks. It's simple. In fact, you could tell somebody else what I just told you, but we don't live it. And the reason we don't live it is we really aren't specific about what our purpose is. Now, as you're listening to me, it is fine for you on your sheet to start writing down some of your goals. I don't mind getting only half of you, okay? I want you to be thinking, because this will be just ethereal. This will just be a nice nebulous thought if you don't really get a hold of yourself and ask yourself, what is my life all about? What's my motivation? What is it that stirs me? What is it that gets me up in the morning? What am I really living for? So that's very important. And Jesus went through all that He did because He was headed to the cross. He was going to accomplish our salvation, and He's also going to prepare His disciples so that the world could be reached. And He accomplished His goal perfectly, and He did it right on time, exactly the way God wanted Him to. And that's why He went through some very difficult times in His life, but He just marched forward. Now, and I do want to mention that every person who's saved here this morning is indwelt by the Spirit, and therefore, according to Ephesians chapter 4, every one of you are given the grace of God. You are gifted with a spiritual gift. You have a unique purpose for the body of Christ. That's why you've got to be actively involved in a godly, Bible-believing church, because your purpose is going to go along with your spiritual gift. Your role as if you're married, as a wife, your role if you have children in the home, or even if they're already out, you still are a mother that has impact, and a grandmother. You've got those aspects, and then your role within the local church, which is going to be very key, which means you've got to have goals about spiritual development in your own life, knowledge of the Word of God, and so forth, and you've got to know your gifting. It's the supernatural working of God through you in the context of the local church. So those are things that, honestly, we don't think about like we should, but they are vital for mental, emotional, and spiritual health to have a whole of that. Now, she mentions, which I think is so good, the next thing is that he prayed. Now, Dr. Flanders on Sunday morning, if you were not here on Sunday morning, you need to listen to his message. It was a simple thesis, but it was the fact that prayer for laborers there in Matthew 9 was not just so that laborers would be sent, but that we would be changed through the prayer so that we could be sent. And that simple thought is big. I can tell you right now, the greatest transforming work outside of just the Spirit of God using the Word of God directly in my life is the times of prayer. And lengthy times of prayer are transforming, because you get focused, just like our subject here. You get spiritual right perspective. You get rid of a lot of the clutter of the thinking that is natural in our lives, and so it it's important that you do take the extended time to pray. Excuse me, I forgot I was going to call my wife here and let her be on the phone. I was on another phone call and I forgot. So prayer was very much a key part of knowing what the will of God was, and to knowing what the will of God was, and to really get that spiritual eyesight. I could spend honestly. I could spend hours on this right now. If I could jump up and down, if I could scream loud enough, if I could do something to make prayer your priority, I would do it. That's how strongly I feel. Most of where you're lacking, if you don't have focus and you don't have the meaning that you need, would get right down to a serious time of extended prayer. I really urge you to seek the Lord on that. Think of, the Lord was the Lord. And what did he do? He would go through the night and pray. He had to be in tune with his Father. And almost every key decision we've made here, I've made in my family, has come through times of extended prayer, and God clarified it based upon the Word of God. So he prayed. That was the key for him to be focused. And then Jesus planned. He knew before the foundation of the world that he was going to come and to do what he did for us. And folks, we are part of his plan. Just as clear as he had a plan, he has a plan for us. I think this is a real faith issue. This is a real faith issue, is that do we really believe God has an important plan for us? Now we know that. Technically, that should be so, but you look at your life, just what you normally do. I don't have a leadership gift, obviously. I don't do this or I don't do that. And we can think, well, my life really doesn't matter. That's a satanic trap, I can tell you that right now. That is wrong. You are as important as anyone else in the work of God. And the great plan that he began before the foundation of the world, and all of the Old Testament leads to his coming, and all of his ministry while he was on earth led to the cross, then and all the preparation before that led to what happened after he was resurrected, after he is ascended, and here we are today because of the work of God, and you are part of that continuing work. What he planned before the foundation of the world, you are now right in the center of his purpose. He said, it's better for you that I go away. We are indwelt by the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. We will do greater works than he did because he is ascended at the right hand of the Father. Did you realize that God wants you to do greater works than he did when he was on the earth? That'll give you pause for thought. The question is, are you? Are you seeing God do mighty things? You see, when you get a hold of me, it's me. Now, I'm just not here to help take care of some things or serve a little bit, but God wants my life to really count. Then, Lord, you've got to teach me. I've got to make that a goal. I've got to so know you through prayer, through Word of God, through developing my life, having the right kind of biblical priorities and schedule. Lord, I want to be in a place that you can do that in my life. If you really get the thrill in your soul that God has called you that way, believe me, it will change your daily perspective. It really will. And then, I like this, Jesus proceeded. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. Luke 9:51. We can make plans and get all excited, but if we don't do something, it doesn't matter. You have to take action steps. See, it's all of God but we're the instrument. So we believe God, and we know without Him we can't do anything, so we take the step of faith. That's that term in the New Testament over and over, walk, walk, walk in the light, walk in love, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Walk circumspectly, walk in the Spirit. In other words, there's got to be action steps of faith. You should do some things today that are moving you forward to the fullness of the goals. God wants you to affect people. God wants you to see folks in heaven because of your life. God wants Christians to be changed. God wants your family to be godly. God wants you to have the joy of the Lord in your marriage. God wants other specific things to happen in your life. Take the steps and God will work. Just talking dreams won't do it. Now you got to start with the dreams, absolutely. But you got to steadfastly set your face to do it as Jesus Christ did. And by the way, He knew what He was going to go through. You know, as we walk with the Lord, we do face spiritual battle. We will face the training times, but it's all good. If we're living for the comfortable life, then we won't do it. But if we're living for the purpose that God has called us to, then we're ready for whatever God wants. And it's all good, because I'm telling you, the greatest thrill in the world is to be saved from yourself and to be free. And so don't fear what God might allow in your life. And then as you take those steps, the Lord, the Father provided for him. You think about the key moments when he was in temptation. The Word of God, of course, was that which he used, but then the angels ministered unto him and strengthened him. You remember at the very end there where he was in the garden and was sweating great drops of blood, he again was ministered to in his humanity. That's hard for us to fully understand being God, but he was human. But God is faithful. He will meet our needs. Let me just say this. Anxiety goes away when you're in the will of God because you know He'll meet my every need. I'm okay. I'm telling you, when you spend an extended time with God in prayer, you're in the Word. You are heading toward what God wants you to do. You are excited about His purpose in your life. You know you're in the will of God. He will provide your daily needs. He will provide power over temptation. He will change your life. He will continue to instruct you. You can count on it. It is absolutely 100% certain He will never let you down. He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That confidence is a glorious thing. You know, Monday through Sunday, you can rest in Him. Actively facing sometimes hard things, but you know that He will help you. Well, she ends up there in the very last couple of pages talking about God's Word shows us the way and how Christian women do struggle to know their purpose. And obviously there are 10 essentials and then the specific way. And she lists them out here. Learning to be godly in your behavior. So there are areas that we have goals. We have areas of behavior that need to be changed, right? We all do, and we want those can be really important goals. Be truthful and kind in your speech. Our speaking is everything to us, our relationships, our ability to minister. Be disciplined and self-controlled. Be a teacher and encourager of good things. Be devoted to your husband. Be devoted to your children. Be discreet and wise in your actions. Be chaste and pure inside and out. You've got to be very purposeful in our day to have that. Be focused on your home. Be kind and good to all. And then you start looking at how do I minister. That is on page 76. I had to read it quickly because I'm going to have to go here. But those are the basic essentials generally, and a lot of specifics come out of those. So maybe you can share that with one another. Now, I would like you to reflect, even in your discussions today, I'd like you to reflect on real purpose and some of the, and think about what vision and dreams has God given to you. I can tell you, He has met with you before. If you've known Him for any time, He's stirred you about some things. You know, and Satan likes to come along and say, oh, don't, you can't do that. Listen, anything God's called you to do, humanly you can't do it. In fact, you know you're on the right track if it's something beyond you. Because now we're getting on the supernatural track. I have been scared to death. I remember I was not looking to be the president of a college. I'm a pastor through and through. And when all of a sudden God began to put that on my heart, I mean, that was impossible. That was just impossible. I remember wrestling with it, just getting cold chills, just thinking, that is out of my comfort zone completely. And I still can't even remember how it all happened. All I know is here we are 18 years later, and praise the Lord. And he is enabled, and I have loved pastoring more than ever, and still we have a colleague sitting there. It's an amazing thing. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You don't know what God has ahead for you. I'll guarantee every lady in here, God has some special things. If you start walking with God now, that will begin to start formulating, that will give great purpose to your life. Don't shortchange yourself because you have a great God. So talk about those things now. Let's encourage one another in our purpose in life. That is going to be key for being really steady and not to get discouraged in your life. All right.